Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. I'm your host Matt, and I interview folks who make a living using WordPress. Check me out, mattreport.com. Today, I am joined by the wonderful Amber Weinberg. Amber, how are you?
Good. How are you, Matt?
Very, very good. So, freelance developer, correct?
Correct.
Nice. So, take us down that that journey. Introduce us to who you are, what you do with WordPress, and your business.
Sure. I have been developing for about 15 years. I started when I was 12. I used to make Sailor Moon websites in middle school instead of paying attention in class. I actually used to get grounded by my parents because I stayed on the computer way too long. And I told my mom that she needed to lighten up because one day I would make a lot of money doing this.
Nice. Very nice.
So I went to school for design, but I found out that I did not enjoy design at all. So I went back into development and worked for a few agencies and went freelance a few years afterwards and started WordPress shortly after I went freelance.
Nice. Nice. Did you have an aha moment when you first used WordPress and you knew that was the way to go? Did you just kind of work into it and say, this is the framework I want to continue with?
I wouldn't say an aha moment, but pretty much as soon as I started working with it, I realized how easy it was to work with versus, you know, most things now that I have to deal with take so much time to sit down and really learn. WordPress was just, I could kind of Google what I wanted to do, and there were 100 tutorials on how to do whatever it was.
Nice. Nice. Do you remember your first WordPress project or client?
I do not. So many, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. When you first started out, did you come up like so many others where you were kind of doing the whole ball of wax, doing design and development? Or did you stick strictly with just development right out of the gate? I noticed on your website that you only do development and then you kind of outsource the design. But in the beginning stages, did you kind of just do whatever anybody wanted, or did you stick with development?
Yeah, when I first started freelance, I pretty much did everything. I did design, SEO, flash animations. All kinds of stuff. Yeah. And that's when I first started getting into WordPress. I believe I did a couple sites where I had to design for it, but it was still mostly blog stuff only. So it was pretty simple at that point.
Nice, nice. So give us when going into your business and freelancing and running a business, can you give us a rundown of your daily routine for those that are trying to get a time management set up or just get down to a routine?
Do not do what I do for time management. Okay. I don't like waking up in the mornings. I tend to get up anywhere from 8 in the morning to 11 in the morning.
Okay.
Basically, I go straight to my computer in my pajamas and go through all my emails. And then I kind of lay a roadmap for the day. So a lot of times during the morning, I'll work on one project, take a 2-hour lunch break, and then during the evening, work on another project.
Okay.
Yeah, so I try to keep them split because it makes me a little bit more productive.
Yep. Yep. Do you balance, do you have a limit or a cap to how many projects you take at once, or do you just kind of schedule them out into a pipeline?
Yeah, I tried taking one client at a time this year and found I didn't like it. It was actually messing up my finances because certain projects would take so long to finish, and then I'd have nothing else coming in. So I actually just recently in the past 2 weeks went back to my old way of just kind of scheduling them in as I go. I take, you know, a couple projects a week and then just hold them off till next week if more come in.
Mm-hmm. So how is it working for you? I noticed on the site that you do, that you say you just work with agencies or other developers or designers.
Right.
You don't go to the end user that might be a mom and pop shop or a big brand store or something like that. You're dealing with the folks that already kind of know this stuff, or at least we hope they already know this stuff. Was that the strategy going into it, saying I don't want to take on this end user client? because they don't understand this stuff? How did you fall into that?
Well, at first, I kind of took on everybody who would give me some money. But I quickly started realizing that there were certain clients I liked working with, and it was always agencies or other freelancers because they knew what I did. I didn't have to explain myself. I didn't have to compete on price because they could see from, you know, the beginning, oh, this is why she charges this much, because she does, you know, such and such. So I wasn't really big into educating the clients. I don't have the best of patience. Every once in a while, if it's a cool project, I will take on, you know, a normal client, but I try to stick mainly with just agencies and freelancers.
All right. Do you remember that that one pain story that you ran into with an end user, I'll call it end user client, that said, you know what, I definitely want to stay away from these people?
I've had several.
Yep.
I had a client who I coded her website exactly. She gave me her little slideshow PDF of her designs, and I coded it exactly and made it look exactly like it. And she called me crying and screaming and saying that I was trying to steal her money.
Wow.
And I was in the middle of a Chinese restaurant trying to dinner with my husband. So I was just like, I can't deal with this anymore.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I'm surprised they could even tell the difference. You know, it wasn't like it was a design project where they said, well, this color blue is kind of off. I mean, now we're in development. It should just be as it is. So how they could be unhappy, I guess. It's not unexpected, but we know how that goes.
Most of the time, I found that clients that kind of freak out like that normally have something else going on in their life. So what happened, I don't remember what happened, but there were one or two things off on the development site that weren't working the way she wanted to. It's minor things, but I think something else was going on in their personal life. So that just kind of compounded, and
yeah.
I was the end point of that rage.
as we tend to be. You know, it's one of these fields where it's that point and click kind of thing, and they just think that it just happens with a few clicks of a button, and they don't understand the time that we've put in over the years with either school or just experience. And, you know, when it comes down to actually putting the product out, you know, they think that we're just sitting behind a computer for a couple hours and just pumping it out and here it is.
Exactly.
So they don't understand that craft. So my next question is, how do you deal with the $500 client? It's kind of the $500 club that I'm kind of dubbing as I go along and interview folks. Now, I already know you have the minimum barrier, which is $1,500, and you're only dealing with specific clients. But I guess, you know, moving up, was it stories like this that got you away from the $500 mark? Was it just a financial thing? How did you kind of progress through that?
Well, I started out even lower than $500, I hate to say.
Okay.
Because I had no clients, I quit my job literally last minute for some medical reasons. I basically was halfway to work, and I was like, I can't deal with work and being sick right now. So I got to work, quit, and went back home. So I didn't even have a website up. So I charged very, very little at the beginning, but I quickly started noticing that the projects that were a little bit larger, often the clients were better. And I also just started getting so much work, and I kept reading all these articles that kept saying, you know, the more you charge, the more clients and the better clients you get. So I was like, well, I'll just try it for a week. And I literally had weeks where I would charge three or four different prices to different clients, just kind of, you know, picking and choosing at random. And I quickly realized that it's true. The more you charge, the more serious they'll take you and the better clients you'll get.
Yeah. No, it's so true, and it's funny. Whenever I hear that, I think of the Gary Vaynerchuk story. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk, where he says when he started out VaynerMedia, before it was VaynerMedia, he would go up to one person, say $5,000, and they would say, yeah, no problem. And he'd go to the next guy and say, okay, $15,000, and he would say, yeah, no problem. Then he would get to the next guy, $20,000. Yeah, no problem. Then he got all the way up to like $40,000 or $50,000, and the guy told him to go screw himself. And he said, okay, no, we'll go back down to, we'll go to $30,000, you know, where it's more comfortable for you. So that it's funny, and that really is the only way that you have to just keep going up that rung until you can finally, you know, get comfortable and get to a good level.
Well, there's actually a way that can backfire, which I've noticed this year. Basically, when I moved to London, I upped my prices again to a $2,000 limit, and I found that I was still getting a lot of work, but they were much larger projects and much larger clients, and the payments between those started becoming from a week to 2 weeks to months. So that actually started hurting, as rent is very, very high here.
Was that because it was just the nature of that company, because it was just like a lot of red tape for them to pay you? They have to give it to the finance department, which has to approve it. Was it just different because of their payment structures, or was it because, what was it? What do you think the reason was that they broke up the payments like that?
It was actually the size of the project itself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I went from, you know, I used to do sites. I'd start them on Monday and have them to the client for review on Friday. So the actual nature of the projects I was getting vastly changed when I upped my prices, and I realized I started getting a little bored as well, and I didn't enjoy it. And I think my favorite price point was when I started at the $1,500, because I had kind of the medium-sized agencies, and I got kind of nice, quick projects that were, you know, beautifully designed, but they came in and out a lot more.
And moving to London, you're still working with the same clients. You're still looking for agencies and other firms to work with.
Right.
What's your process like? Like you said, you could probably turn around something in a week to maybe 2 weeks, something like that. Do you? What are your requirements that folks have to give you before you begin your work? PSDs, HTML, stuff like that, or do you handle all that?
Basically, all they have to give me is their deposit is the number one thing. Before I'll start any work, it's always a 50% deposit, and then their PSDs. I will, you know, take out the graphics and optimize the images and do all of the HTML as I'm integrating WordPress. Some people prefer a two-step, you know, where they write the HTML and the CSS and then they integrate WordPress, but I found it's a lot faster doing it together.
Nice.
So, I try to make it as like a nice little conveyor belt for the clients. They just give me their, you know, their assets, and I give them a website, they review it, and then I give it back to them.
Very nice. Was there a big cultural, probably a big cultural difference moving from the States to London?
It's very, very different. Yeah. I actually wrote a blog post on one of my old design sites on how to be English if you're American.
Don't celebrate the 4th of July.
there's some crazy differences. Like, you would think they would be pretty much the same. You know, the countries are so similar, but there's so many differences.
Yeah.
Just the language. You feel like you're speaking another language sometimes.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Especially some of my friends, you can't understand what they're saying. And just the culture itself is very different.
Is doing business different, or is that kind of the same? Like, do they expect the 50% deposit, contracts, milestones?
I've noticed business is quite different because they expect you to work on site more.
Ah.
I'm told that over here, there's freelancers and there's contractors. And a lot of agencies don't know the differences here. Those contractors are normally those who will, you know, work for you for 30 days on site. And it's not something I do, so it's kind of hard to get them to understand that.
That's interesting. Can you share what really works for your business now? Is it the connection to the agencies? What have you really found as your mojo for your current business?
I'd have to say Twitter probably right now. Yeah, I've met so many people, and, you know, they'll get too much work in, and so they'll need someone to refer work to. Just meeting people. When you're tweeting and you're tweeting useful things, you're always kind of at the forefront of people's minds. And when I moved over here, you know, I'd only been over here once for a week my entire life when I came over here, and I had so many friends already. You know, because you have all those Twitter friends, and they're like, hey, let's meet for coffee, and I've gotten so so much work from that.
Nice. Yeah, I find that for myself, Twitter, number one social network. I'm trying to leverage LinkedIn a little bit more. I do find it a little bit as noisy, if not noisier, than Facebook, which was interesting because it's still like a lot of just marketers and ads and spam on LinkedIn, much more than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
But I would say Twitter, reaching out, making those connections. I just did an interview with Tom McFarlane, another WordPress developer, and he said the same thing. He was just making connections online. But then he found it important that you make those real life connections and do the real life networking. Were you able to do that? Like you said, you had a lot of Twitter friends, but what about for business? When you moved over to London, was it easy for you to start networking, or do you not even do that out there?
I don't really do that. I came from Nashville, and the biggest thing we have in Nashville is BarCamp, which is one of the largest bar camps in the world, I think, that we host. But I'm not a big face-to-face kind of networker. The reason why I quit my job was because I kind of had a major bout with anxiety. So, you know, it was kind of like a shy person. It doesn't sound like it because I talk a lot, but I'm a shy person when it comes to new people. But I have been going to a lot more conferences.
Nice.
My biggest issue, though, is just standing in the corner waiting for people to come talk to me.
No, that shouldn't be an issue. Just put a big I'm approachable sign on you and just sit there. Are there a lot of WordPress meetups out there in the UK?
I honestly have not been to any.
Okay.
I know there's WordCamp, but I tend to kind of generally go to just the more general conferences. I've been asked to speak at a few, so I've been doing some speaking. But yeah, I haven't really seen any conferences for WordPress, but I know they're out there.
Nice. Well, if you know, you don't have to answer this, but what was the prompting to move from Nashville to the UK?
I'm an Anglophile.
Ah.
So I'm in love with everything English.
Nice.
Big history buff. So nice. I had been doing a lot of studying on the side, and I kind of just wanted to experience it firsthand.
It's awesome. So yeah. it's chasing your dream, and you know, and you're happy doing that. That's great. Tom, again, referring back to Tom McFarlane, my previous interview, he said it was all about balancing being happy with what he's doing, where he's at, you know, and freelancing in WordPress and working for other virtual agencies, you know, allows him to do that. So that's great. Still sticking on the freelance and business side of things, do you have any particular weaknesses that you can identify, but that you offset because of what WordPress allows you to do, or because of the WordPress community, or something else that you leverage?
I think I'm getting old. So I'm not, you know, back when, you know, when you're a younger developer and you have more time, it's easier for you to grasp newer things. And I do tend to spend a lot of my time in WordPress, so I don't, I'm pretty bad at getting with new things. Like, I've been very anti-preprocessor. Not that I want to get into that here, because it'll start a big fight. I don't know. I'm very, like, I'm not into all the frameworks that a lot of people use and stuff like that. I prefer kind of a low-key approach to development. You know, the less abstraction and layers, the better.
Yep.
So I would say that sometimes that works against me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably my one bad weakness in development, is just, you know, not spending the time I should be with some of the newer stuff.
Nice. So you're not doing anything like with Less or with SAS or anything like that, just kind of just staying straight CSS. It's already complicated enough.
Yes. I actually installed, the end of last week, I installed CodeKit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a hassle. I'm kind of one of those people where if I don't get it right away, I'm not going to waste my time on it. You know, I'm too busy to sit there for 3 hours and figure out why CodeKit kept giving me errors. Mm-hmm. But it was only because a client site was already coded. I was helping out with some bugs, and they already had it coded in SAS.
Nice.
That's the only reason I downloaded it.
Wow, already finding clients that have it in SAS. That's interesting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about WordPress now. So what do you think, what is it about WordPress that enables you to make a living using it? Is it the install base? Is it the community? Is it the documentation, like you said before? What do you think really allows you to make a living using WordPress?
I think I have to give a shout out to the actual developers of WordPress, because I just think it's their fantastic products. It's so easy to manipulate. It's the problem with most CMSs is that it's either easy to develop for, but hard for the admin or the user to use, or vice versa. And I think WordPress is the first one where it's both. It's so easy for my clients, even a lot of my agency clients and tech clients. You know, may not be super tech savvy. They may be more designers or PR people. And even they get WordPress, and they can kind of look at it right away and figure out what's going on. And it's, the community is fantastic. You can Google for anything in the world. I've yet to not be able to find an article for something I wanted to do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, just kind of watching the 3.5 release kind of conspire over the last few days, and seeing Nason, you know, tweet about the long, you know, endless days of you know, and weekends and constant, headbanging to try to get this thing going or get 3.5 out the door. It's just amazing, because it's that open source mentality. It's that free software, which lends to the good and the bad. I mean, that's kind of that, I always hearken back to the $500 client or the folks who are making the $500 website, because it's this such a low barrier to entry. It's just like point, click, install WordPress. Throw in like 50 different plugins to do, you know, one thing, and then people don't update it anymore, and it just, you know, falls to pieces because it's been, you know, attacked by code and stuff, or you know, malicious code and things like that. That's the bad side. The good side is this is free, awesome software that these folks are really working hard to produce, that we get to leverage to build a career out of. So definitely shout outs to the folks who really build this stuff.
Yeah.
All that said, what's your one gripe about WordPress, and how do you think it can improve?
My one gripe that I had was actually finally solved. I used to hate all e-commerce plugins, but I've actually kind of recently fallen in love with WooCommerce.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. You can see my husband, he's in the background. He's a developer as well.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, I cannot think of one right now.
Okay. No, maybe that's a good one.
But the
e-commerce stuff, I always hear that, like when I go out and I either speak at events or I go to a bunch of different marketing groups in the area that use WordPress, and a lot of them say that, and a lot of other freelancers in the area say that they can't find anything. They couldn't find WordPress doing e-commerce well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always say, well, it's not WordPress's job to do e-commerce. I mean, that's why they have the plugins, and that's why you can build on top of it and things like that. But WooCommerce is definitely one that I prefer. I think it's a great plugin, and they have a ton of extensions.
Yes, it's great. I think the reason why I hated it at first was because the documentation is absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's so terrible. You cannot figure out how to do anything. But once you finally start to kind of figure it out, and if you talk bad enough about them on Twitter, they'll actually respond and help.
A little inside tactic for those that are listening.
Yeah. But once you start figuring it out and really getting into the core of it, it's actually very nice.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree. So folks who are starting out with WordPress, either development or design, where should they look to start improving their WordPress skills right off the bat?
There is a really good book, the book by Chris Coyer. Digging into WordPress is what it's called. That's fantastic for beginners. But the biggest thing that I can say that has always worked for me is just to download WordPress, install it, and try to do something with it. Mm-hmm. You know, start off easy, you know, try to integrate a basic theme and use Google and the codex.
Nice. Yeah, my first interview, Jesse Friedman, wrote the book, WordPress, the Web Developer's Guide for WordPress, and he said the same thing. Just jump in, install it, local host install, and just start hacking away, you know, for lack of a better term, and just start trying things out and posting questions to the community and things like that.
Yeah, there's not been a lot of books for WordPress. I've noticed it's kind of an open market. Yeah. I'm doing one myself.
Nice.
Yeah, it's more of an advanced book. But I find that there's still kind of an open market for the printed WordPress book. But there's so much stuff online.
Nice. Anything else you want to say about that? Or is that still kind of under the radar right now? Is this breaking news? This is awesome.
No, it's not a secret. I've been tweeting about it.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to get it out before the end of next year.
Nice.
So now with WordPress 3.5 coming out, though, I'll have to go and look through and see if I have to revise anything. But it's basically functionality and using WordPress as a CMS.
Wow.
So it's nothing about blogging or any blogging functions or anything.
Very cool. Very cool. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with the WordPress community? And I kind of bring this up thinking of when I was starting out in going to WordCamps, and I would see, which I kind of call like thinking back to high school, where the cool kids sat in one corner and everyone else sat over here and everyone was kind of afraid to talk to each other. I mean, do you have any experiences with, you know, seeing like the folks from Automattic or Code Poets being like, oh, those guys are unapproachable or those gals are unapproachable? Anything about the WordPress community that you like or dislike that could be fixed?
I have honestly never met anybody from Automattic. I've only been to one WordCamp, and to be honest, I'm not very big at conferences. I get kind of bored. I can't focus very well. But I think the community is pretty nice, although there have been, you know, some blips, you know, when you had, oh my gosh, who was that fighting with Matt?
Oh yeah.
Not the Matt, but the...
His last name was Pearson, I think.
It was the guy who did that big framework that
I
hated.
Chris Pearson, I think, for a thesis.
Yes, thesis. Yep. I absolutely hated thesis.
Yeah.
I hate any framework like that that changes the way that WordPress, like the core functionality and the way that you develop for it, is a big pain. But that was a sad day for WordPress, I think.
Yeah.
Got kind of out of hand.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's the only time I've really seen any drama. So I follow Matt on Twitter, and he's answered me a few times.
Nice.
That's quite nice. But, you know, they're developers like everybody else. You know, they just happen to have the most awesome CMS ever.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Very good. Let's jump into, I do a curveball question before the lightning round. You are not obligated to answer.
Okay.
Any insights reasoning for selling the code snippet platform that you had?
Oh, yes. That site was actually created with my husband. It was about 2 years ago. We kind of wanted to do a project together. He's a back-end developer. But he got kind of bored with working on it because he works a regular full-time job, so he hated working after work. And I went through a couple other back-end developers, and it just wasn't receiving the love it needed. Like, I thought it was a great platform and a great idea, but I got so busy with other side projects and work, and the back-end developers were always so busy, and I felt like it would be better for the users if I sold it to a developer who wanted to do something with it versus letting it sit there forever.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it's funny that you say that, because that's the same, one of my final questions, I won't reveal it yet, but Tom McFarlane's answer was, when you have a project that you don't, that you're not caring for anymore, like really caring, like I'm not putting enough love into it, or I'm not giving it its attention, to, you know, either kill it off so that it's not pulling that attention away from you and kind of distracting you, or give it to, or in your case, like sell it to someone else who's going to grow it and bring it up to the next level. So that's amazing. Was it a sad day when it sold, or were you just happy to move on?
I was really happy to move on. You know, I hadn't worked on it in probably a year personally. And even though I wasn't spending any time with it, it was still kind of that nagging thing in the back of my head, like, oh, I need to do this. I need to update it. And I felt like I was really letting the users down.
Nice. How, just real briefly, how was your experience selling on Flippa?
It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. The transaction was easy. I transferred everything within the day for the developer, and he promised that he was going to do quite a lot of stuff with the site. So, nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Very nice. All right. So let's jump into the lightning round, where I'll ask you just a series of questions really quick, and you can give me a really quick or brief answer if possible. So what is the one plugin you cannot live without?
All-in-one SEO.
Very nice. The best business or career advice you have received?
Charge more money. Not charging enough.
Nice. The longest a client project has taken?
A year.
Wow. If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be and why?
Oh, my. Probably Perch. Huh. I haven't worked with it, but I have heard very good things, and that it's very simple and easy to work with.
Nice. All right. And what's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
Who is my secretary?
Ah, so who is your secretary?
Where is my secretary? Oh, apparently he is outside.
All right.
In the kitchen.
Is he in the kitchen? If you hold on just a second,
sure.
I'll go get
him. No, all right. No problem. Okay.